is not on the air. There is no code 5 in that area. KMA 394.
5-6-1 reporting in service. Starting mileage 8261. 8261. Officers Perkins and Walter.
Control 1-10-4. Starting mileage 8261. 6:04 p.m. Unit 5-6 reporting in service on the night watch.
This is Don Reed, a police recorder. You're riding in the back seat of Detective Unit 5-6, just reporting in service on the night watch. You're going to ride with us.
4-1 to 5-6, come in.
5-6, go ahead.
4-1 to 5-6, Unit 5-1 is holding a possible burglary suspect at 2900 Lincolnwood Avenue. That's 2900 Lincolnwood Avenue. They are requesting a detective unit meet them. That's in the motel at that location, room 7. Meet the officer.
10-4, Control 1, we'll roll right over there.
Well, we'll be on that burglary investigation shortly. But as I started to say, you're going to ride with us tonight. And remember, the people you meet are not actors. What happens to us happens to you. Because this is it. This is real. This is Night Watch.
Night Watch. The actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors, there is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch, presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. And now we switch you to Detective Unit 5-6, answering a call on a burglary suspect and to police recorder Don Reed.
Where one of our uniformed cars has a burglary suspect in custody. Police car parked in the drive. One of our uniformed officers coming over here. Let's see what it's all about.
What do you got, Jim?
The manager of the motel here caught a fella going out the back window with an arm full of bedclothes, clothing, towels, and so forth. It doesn't look too good. It seems that he's registered here under a phony name.
Whereabouts is he now?
He's inside with my partner and the manager. They're holding him.
Okay, let's talk to him.
Into the motel room. Manager and suspect standing next to the bed. In the middle of the floor, blankets, pillows, sheets. Towels.
I come out there, the dogs start barking, see? So I...
Where was he when you saw him?
He's right up in front. I said, well, where are you going with that? He said, well, fellow...
He admitted that he had out there. He admitted. He said, well, I paid for the room. I wasn't going off without some trouble. He paid $3 and going away with all this debt.
Suspect glaring at the manager. He's tall, husky build, unshaven. Officers checking his pockets.
Here's the key to my trailer right there. I live up here about, I think it's 3 or 4 blocks. So.
What's that? What's the name of the place?
Geez, I just moved in about 2 days ago.
Oh, no.
Do you live by yourself in your trailer?
Yes, I do.
Do you need bedding or something?
Oh, no, I
didn't need bedding. What were you going to do with the ashtray you had to be honest with
me? I'm here. Just a souvenir, but he got
a souvenir, huh?
What were you doing with the bedding?
I just grabbed it and took off, and I was going out to the office.
He said he saw you on the street, no?
Sure he saw me, that's where. Sure. That's where I met him on the street. On the street.
Why aren't you staying in your trailer?
Why am I staying in my trailer?
Yeah.
Well, I just figured I'd stay here tonight.
How come you're taking, if you're taking the blankets out of here?
Well, as long as my idea that I'm trying to steal something,
man,
don't tell me nothing, Jack. I mean, I can get tough, too, I mean, but I'm not
well,
trying to
get
funny stuff
as I can.
Well, I mean, all right.
That's the only story I can see.
Okay, I'll call you a liar, too.
You been arrested?
I've been arrested for assault and battery.
What else?
Assault and battery and 502 is all.
Suspect arrested for assault, 502. That's drunk driving.
That's a straight scoop.
What'd you take the bedding for, though?
$3
for this room.
Paid $3 for the room. We're going to steal $35 for the bedding. Okay, give me about half a piece.
How about, you know, $35 for the bedding?
Well, we're going to check you out, Bill.
Okay, check me out. I mean, if you think I'm wrong, okay, let's go.
We're going to locate your cab, and we're going to check it out, too. Let's go.
I will be down to see what the situation is.
He couldn't possibly tell the correct story because here you take cutting out there with all these goods in his hand, and just because he paid $3, he cut the price way down. There are prices for, and he cut it down for him. We've had people.
That would be a good deal. Pay $3 for the room, take the bedding.
They've had cars and gone away in the night, but never caught them. We've had them go away with one bike, gone away with two blankets and a spread one night.
We'll go up to the trailer and see what situation that will come back.
Here's the deal. The radio officers have the suspect in custody, and they'll go on down to the trailer court. Our detective unit will roll down with them. See if we can fill in some holes in this case. Trailer court off on the left. Actually, just a couple of hundred yards from the motel. The uniformed car is pulling up in front with the suspect. The suspect is pointing out a green trailer on the right. Now let's go over to the office with the detectives. Just an observation. It seems strange that the suspect rented a motel room just 3 minutes' walk from his trailer. Maybe a little bit hard to explain. Well, here's the office. Small bungalow covered with trees.
Hello. What's the complete, Brian?
I guess some questions about the fellow lives in the corner trailer up here.
Which one? You mean right here in the front?
The house.
Well, listen, he just came in the other night and just moved in. He hasn't even come in here and registered anything yet. And I haven't been able to catch him. Wasn't there all day today? He'd come and looked at the trailer, you know. And then he said that he was going to come in a certain time. And I said, well, the man stayed up until the 20th of the month. He couldn't come in until, before that. And he said, well, I can have it done by the 20th. And I said, yes, you can have it by the 20th. And then I was out one evening and Paul here said he'd moved in there.
He went down here to the motel next to here.
Oh,
rented
a
room, went out the window with all their bedding.
No kidding.
When he comes back, he's not coming in here. And under, I don't have to let him have it, do I?
He's not coming back.
Because I don't want him in here at all.
Oh, no, no.
Gee, I'm glad we found that out. All right, you keep him over there, then. Don't let him come back here.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, there's another discrepancy in the suspect story. Seems he just took over the trailer. Legally, he doesn't even live here.
Don, you want to check out the trailer with us? We're going in.
Yeah. Well, let's go in and have a look. Officer Blumenstein, Sergeant Perkins going in. Well, here's the picture. Empty whiskey bottles on the sink. A couple of dishes full of cigarette stubs.
Some bread?
Half a loaf of bread. Stale. Some lunch meat that's had it. There's a bed over here in the corner that hasn't. Not a stitch of bedding on it. Just a bare mattress.
Well, we've seen enough. Let's go, Bloomy. Paul, he hasn't got any bedding in there at all. Matter of fact, as he sneaked in there, isn't paying any rent. I suggest you take him on down, book him on suspicion of burglary, 459.
Well, there's not a stitch of bedding on his bed there, and none anywhere in the trailer.
Well, that's an open and shut case into that.
You won't have to stay out here with him to take him on in. He just might get in a little trouble.
I think I'd handcuff him on the way out.
Okay.
Stand by until we get him in the car. Well, that's that. The suspect is handcuffed, be taken into the station in the uniform car.
You believe in Perkins?
Are you kidding?
That's a good way of punishing your trailer. $3.
If
5-6-1 on the 459 call at 2931 Overhill Boulevard. 5-1 has suspect in custody and will 10-19. We're clear and back in service.
Control 1-5-6-10-4, clear and back on patrol.
Go ahead.
Control 1-5-6 at 1329 Tarabella. At 1329 Tarabella, we have a report. 14-year-old girl locked out of the house and is hammering on the door. Investigate trouble.
10-4 Control 1. We're out in the west end of town. It'll take us about 10 minutes.
Control 1-5-6, 10-4, roll code 2.
10-4.
The red light coming down here, so we actually made it in about 5 minutes. There it is, the house off on the right-hand side. Gee, I wish somebody get that door fixed. Dark. Doesn't appear to be anyone inside. One officer going up the walk to check the bedroom windows. There's a woman leaning out of the window.
She's coming to the front door.
Coming around to the front. Apparently that's the mother. She's locked her daughter out. Huh, let's see what this is all about.
Where is she then?
Well, we heard that she was sitting on the doorstep here.
Here she is. Hair up in curlers. Bathrobe pulled up around her throat.
The information that we had was that she wasn't permitted in. She came home late.
Yeah, but I...
Where did she go tonight?
I don't know. She wasn't permitted to go any place, and by the time I looked around, she was out, and I thought that by 12 o'clock she would be home. She wasn't.
Did you tell her she's going to be locked out if she didn't get in early?
Mm-hmm. If she comes in late, after 12, I said she'd be locked out. But however, if she was knocking the door, I would open it for her.
You don't know where she went or who she was with tonight?
No, I didn't.
Are you at all worried about your daughter?
Yeah.
How old is she?
She's going to be 15.
She's 14 now.
Yep.
Does she normally stay out this late at night?
No, she's not permitted, but she does it all the time.
She does it all the time?
Mm-hmm. I have no way of punishing her for that. Just don't know what to do about it. I thought to find something, but seems it doesn't work.
She's not in the house now.
Not that I know of, no.
You want to check her bedroom? We'll wait for you.
The mother going into the house.
I wonder why kids get into trouble.
Walking out of the shadows under the streetlight. Young girl, bareheaded, no coat on. Must be the young girl in question.
Yes.
Did you knock on the door?
I knocked on the door, but I came back there twice, and I tried all the doors, and I knocked my head off. And do you think they'd let me in? So I just didn't walk around. I knew you were down here. So.
You're how old?
14.
And what time did you get here?
About a quarter after 12, but I was at work till then.
You were at work? Where do you work?
Well, I worked down here.
Where?
Down at the little restaurant down here.
Yeah.
Well, I worked there from about 8, I guess, since I left the house, till 12. You can check that with my boss.
What are you doing working until 12 o'clock?
I don't know. But I was.
Were you out with a caller tonight?
No, I wasn't.
What time did you leave the house?
I left here about, oh gosh, I don't know, just about 7:30.
Did your mother know where you were going?
No.
Does she know you work down there?
Yes, she knows I work down there.
Didn't you tell her where you were going?
No, because I was mad, and I figured she always calls up there anyway, so I figured she'd call, but she didn't.
We're just about ready to roust out every neighbor in the place around, everybody that you know, trying to find out where you are.
Well... I don't know what I'm supposed to do when I can't get in the house.
You're not supposed to be out this time of night anyway.
Well, I couldn't get in, so I thought,
You're not supposed to be out at 12 o'clock at night.
Well, I had
You're not supposed to work. You're not permitted to work until after, up until 10 o'clock.
Why?
Not permitted after 10. You have this trouble all the time?
No, but the kind of locked out of a house. I didn't know I was going to get locked down. If she would have asked me where I was going, I would have told her. But, I figured she knew that I wouldn't take off any place with nobody. I think she figured I'd be down there if I was any place.
Well, she didn't. And your responsibility as a juvenile is to tell your parents where you're going. Their responsibility is to see that you go at the right place. Hear what time it is?
Yeah,
2 o'clock.
Is it 2 o'clock?
I'd like to go home.
I would too. I've been trying to get home for a long time now.
Talk to your mother.
Mother's out here on the street. Let's go over with the daughter. Sergeant Perkins. See if we can straighten this thing out.
She was down working.
She wasn't working. A 14-year-old girl. She quit at 7 o'clock. She wasn't working. You weren't working at the...
I wasn't working. I've been working. I knew I had to go to work. I told you before.
You did not have to go to work, and you weren't going to go to work, and you had no intention of going to work.
Well, did you think I was at work?
No, you weren't at work.
Would you like to phone up in the morning and find out if I was at work? And will you ask him what time I left there?
Work
I told you when I got home that I had to go back to work at 7:30.
You're wasting up old and aged.
Look, first place, you're not supposed to work after 10 o'clock. Second place, when you go out at night, you're supposed to tell your parents where you're going. And they are responsible for what you do.
Well, what do you do with a juvenile that doesn't listen to you? That you hold one door and she runs off with the other door. She gives me a shove away and she...
When have I ever shoved you?
What do you do with a juvenile like that?
Well, now, look. You got a family. You got a daughter. She's intelligent. You're intelligent. Something that you can work out.
I know I've been trying so hard.
It's a mutual deal. It's give and take on both parts.
Oh, I've given too much.
Well, I won't say whether you have or not because I don't know. I don't think any parent can give too much on that basis. You're naturally, you have the right to know where your daughter's going, who she's with, what time she's going to be home, and you have the right to set the hours that she should be home.
Yeah, but what do you do if you can't do that? Isn't there any other solution? I can't do that.
There's only two solutions that we can do.
What?
And that is either the parents properly supervise the children or the state supervises.
Yeah,
which means the child is placed in a home.
I think
that's something we don't want to do with you. I think you've got enough sense and intelligence that you don't want to be placed in juvenile
because
home.
She doesn't listen to me.
I'm much rather be the way I've been treated.
Okay, you've been treated, a 14-year-old girl to run around with somebody I don't know where. She once came home 3 o'clock in the morning.
When did I ever come home 3 o'clock in the morning?
New Year's Eve, she came home 4:45.
Well, I'll explain to you why I came home that late.
I don't know why. There's always why. New Year's Eve, 4:45, you came home.
I stay there and I
go to pieces waiting up for you.
So you weren't expecting me home.
Wait a minute. It's late. It's after 2 o'clock. Got people, neighbors are trying to sleep. We don't want to have a scene out here in the middle of the street. If you've got a problem, we'll be very happy to try to help you with it. You know that. However, until you're 18 years of age, there are certain rules and regulations you have to abide by. One of them is curfew. One of them is the state labor law, when you can work and when you can't, how many hours you can work. Just a minute, please.
Yeah.
You've got to abide by your parents' wishes and desires as long as they are reasonable. Now, just let me finish. There are certain things that you can do. You can tell your parents where you're going, who you're with, what time you're going to be back.
I always do that, too. Except when she won't even talk to me. And then she usually knows where I'm at.
Can I talk to you a minute, please?
Yes.
Taking the mother aside.
I have a problem with now. Mm-hmm. And the home is a place where she should enjoy staying.
What can I do? She just lost her girl out. She wasn't alone. She was with the boy.
How do you know? Did you talk to the boy?
No.
Well, you're just assuming that she was with the boy. You don't know whether she was working or not, actually. Is that right?
She wasn't working.
How do you know?
I don't know, but she was. She was. She only supposed to be working.
Here's what I'm trying to point out is that You're telling her she isn't working. Maybe she was.
Well, why didn't she tell me where she was, then?
She just told you now, and you said that she wasn't working.
I don't know. I don't know how true it is. I have to check that she probably
I know, but why don't you do this? Why don't you assume that she's telling the truth until you prove that it's a falsehood, rather than assume that it's false?
Even so, she wasn't working till off till now. Where was she?
She might have been working until 12 o'clock. You don't know until we can find out. Let's assume that she was. Let's give her the benefit
of
the doubt.
I'm sure she wasn't. She wasn't supposed to be working.
I'm not going to stand here and argue with you. I'm just trying to tell you that you don't know whether she was working or not.
Yes.
So you're calling the child a liar.
Yes.
Which is the worst thing in the world to do. You don't know whether the girl's lying or not. How can she want to tell you the truth if you don't believe her?
That's it, too, but...
Still, you think that she wasn't. You have reasons.
I have reasons. I mean, I know that isn't the first time.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I can see why there's a problem in this household. I can tell you one thing right off the bat. One of the biggest problems that you've got is the fact that that girl doesn't believe that you believe anything she tells you.
Well, that's the truth, because she's been lying all the time to me.
Well, you assume that she's lying right now. You don't know that she's lying or not.
Well, some part of it is a lie, because she did not work up till now. She was with the boy up till now.
She was? Let's go call the boy and find out.
He wouldn't tell you.
He'll tell me. Let's go get him on the phone.
Let's head up the walk. Sergeant Perkins is taking down the phone number of the boy in question.
The number here?
Also, the place where the daughter claimed she was working. In the kitchen, the phone on a long cord, and the breakfast.
Hello, this is Sergeant Perkins of Culver City Police.
You are listening to Night Watch and following the activities of a detective unit on its tour of duty. Remember, the people and sounds you are hearing are real, and the investigations are recorded in the field as they actually occur. We'll bring you the final results of tonight's action at the conclusion of Night Watch. The most conscientious parent can't help breathing a sigh of relief during school hours to know the kids are off the streets, out of harm's way, and learning something. But between overcrowding and understaffing, our children are getting short rations in their educations. Join your local groups fighting for better schools. And now we switch you back to Detective Unit 5-6, somewhere in the field, and to police recorder Don Reed, who is standing by during an investigation by Sergeant Ron Perkins.
Did you say did or did not see her tonight? She told you she had to work till 12 o'clock. Okay, fine. Thanks very much. Sorry to bother you so late. Well, there's your answer. The daughter's telling the truth.
And the mother just staring at us, shrugging her shoulders, not saying a word.
Hard. I suggest you come on down to the Juvenile Bureau. We'll make an appointment for next Wednesday night. You and your daughter have a problem here. We've got a problem. We'd like to get it worked out. If we don't, you're going to have arguments. She's going to run away. Right now, we're going to go out and talk to your daughter. Good night.
Well, that conversation certainly stopped in a hurry. Let's get back to Kerr. Well, the daughter sitting in the front seat of the police car. Let's wind this thing up.
It would save a lot of trouble and a lot of grief and worry if you would tell your mother where you're going, who you're going with, and what time you're coming home.
I always do. Most of the time, except when she doesn't want to talk to me.
You know that young ladies under the age of 18 are not supposed to be out after 10 o'clock at night? And you know that if it continues, that we're going to have to come down and take you and place you in juvenile hall, where you will work and go to school. Get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and do the dishes and scrub the floors and then get a little play, and you've got a big tall wall around you that you can't get out. Here, at least, you can get out once in a while. The discipline here at your home is certainly not anything what's going to be like in juvenile hall. You know that, don't you? I think you put out half of an effort.
I do.
Well,
I honestly do.
I've asked your mother, and I want you to come down to juvenile hearings Wednesday night.
Meantime, I don't want you to get any ideas about running away.
Oh, I'm not going to run away.
If you run away, run away to the police station. Will you say there's a lot of trouble?
That's what I was going to do tonight.
And your mother said she's going to come down to hearings next Wednesday.
It's not going
to
do any good. I know it.
Well, now, look. If you take that attitude, it won't do any good.
I don't take that attitude all the time. I tried everything.
You haven't tried listening to me yet.
Well, no.
Well, then why don't you try listening to me?
I'm not listening. I don't listen to anybody.
Okay. In the meantime, do what your mother tells you to do and put up with it the best you can. Just think, 4 more years, you can go out on your own.
3 more.
All right,
I'll
three
be
more.
15 at the end of the month.
All right, but you got 3 more years, so, right?
Yeah, I already know that, but you know, when I'm 18, I'm getting kicked out of the house anyway, so.
Well, think of the experience you're gaining, so when you have kids of your own, well, you can bring them up differently.
Well, you're darn right, I will.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Five, 6 to 1, clear on the 214 investigation and end of watch.
Control 1 to 5, 6, 10-4, clear on 214. 216 AM, KMA 394, unit 5-6, end of the station and end of night watch.
What you have just heard is real, recorded as it actually happened on the Night Watch. And now we switch you back to Police Headquarters and Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
Tonight's first burglary case resulted in the arrest of the suspect when the follow-up investigation revealed he had simply paid $3 for a motel room and then walked off with approximately $40 worth of bedding. The charge was later reduced to Penal Code Violation 488, petty theft, the maximum penalty of which is 6 months in the county jail. In the other case tonight, in which a young girl was locked out of the house, both the mother and daughter were cited into juvenile hearing where a corrective program was worked out to prevent any future reoccurrence. Each week, as you follow Detective Unit 5-6, you'll note the events run the gamut from homicide to advising juveniles. We hope this will provide you with an insight of the work being done by your local law enforcement officers. Night Watch is pioneering a new era of radio, just like the Public Relations Bureau of your police department is clearing the way for a new understanding with the citizen. We are trying to combine the two so that the American public can understand firsthand the real problems facing your police officer today. To succeed in this cause is the meaning of Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have been following the on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch, brought to you through the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Headlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and is described in the field by police recorder Don Reed.